Can you remember the first time you ever heard your own voice on tape? For many people, it was quite disappointing, actually, to realise that the way that the world heard you outside of your head is quite different to the way you hear yourself in your head. The reason I mention it is because I'm standing in the Powerhouse Museum, and tonight an exhibition is being launched that really investigates the notion of the voice, how we relate to it, the history of it, what makes it and what people do with it. It's called This Is a Voice, and two of the curators, Katie Dyer and Tilly Berlin, are with me this morning. Hello.
Hello, Robbie.
Yeah, well, tell us about what we're standing in the midst of here.
We have a wealth of material that looks at the voice from so many different angles. So we've got artist interpretations, we've got medical specimens, we've got anthropological research, technological material to investigate the voice from its many different angles.
Okay, well, let's talk about the voice's identity. You know, can you remember that moment where you heard your voice for the first time on a cassette way back when and thought, ah, that's not me? Is that how the world hears me?
Don't we sound deep and resonant and beautiful? That's how it comes through with the bones in our head.
I actually remember the first time I heard my own voice, and it was because I rang the radio to do a love song dedication and I was horrified.
Yeah. Well, welcome to my life. Take us through some of the installations here, because what we're looking at is a lot of videos and a lot of people with mouths moving and the sounds of voices around us. But what's actually going on here?
So several different subjects. So voice and identity, for example, how we really think of it as something that represents us, a bit like our face. Mm. We think about it in this exhibition from the way it's actually extremely malleable and flexible, but it's also actually quite out of our control. So we think also in this show about the voice beyond words. Think about it, laughing, coughing, guffawing, screaming. we're not screaming.
Yeah, hopefully not too much screaming here. Let's walk over here, because talking about screaming, I am about to scream. I get a little bit squeamish. What is this in here? Because it looks like an alien life form.
It's not. It's a human larynx and tongue. It's a gorgeous specimen from the University of Sydney's Pathology Museum. And it shows something that we all have, we all possess and use every single day. Yet we don't often get to see one outside of our body.
It does look fairly ugly. It's probably about 25 centimetres high, this specimen, and you can see that the tongue, I mean, you know what the tongue looks like, but the rest of the pink fleshy stuff is all spread out, so it kind of looks like a ghostly form coming to take your soul.
Or a little bit of a wacky stingray, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we're walking into a darkened room, and there are television screens hanging from the ceiling. And on the television screens are people in various rooms. One's in a doctor's surgery, another's in an office waiting room, one's in their living room. What you do notice about these figures is that they're all sped up. What's going on?
This is a work by an artist called Marcus Coates, and he's very interested in the relationship between humans and animals. What he's done here is he's found this great subculture of twitchers, so people who mimic birdsong, and so he's recorded them and then sped up the film so they also then take on the movements and animation almost of birds. It's actually looking at evolutionary theory around why the voice evolved the way it has, or the human voice. And several theories exist. One is that it was based on animal mimicry. That could be maybe for hunting purposes, or also for safety purposes. If you sounded like something, you could maybe scare something off. Other theories, of course, engage with the idea of it was central to social bonding. So not so much for the idea of communication and information exchange, but these other different forms of human activity.
So we're talking about the voice this morning. I'm in the Powerhouse Museum, and a preview of an exhibition which is being launched tonight called This Is a Voice, to coincide with the Sydney Science Festival. And one of the initiatives here is actually tracing the way that we, as Sydneysiders, have changed our accents.
Yes, we've been working with some researchers from the Western Sydney University and also ANU, and they've been looking at this for over 30 years, 40 years. They've been working on, we've sort of incorporated into an interactive, so can you guess where people are from in Sydney? Can you guess their age range, their occupation, or their community or social group? And it's really interesting. Most of the time people get it wrong. So,
well, that's kind of a relief in some ways.
It is a relief. It helps us really understand how much we kind of judge people by the way they sound or assume that we know more about them than we actually do. So it is really interlinked to that idea of how we assume people's identity is so tied up in their voice.
And finally, Tilly and Katie, an exhibit that doesn't make any noise at all and yet speaks in its own voice. What's this? There are two books here behind this Perspex case.
These books are very powerful. This is in a section about the unlocated voice, so where you can't see the speaker. So these two books come from a very different perspective of people who could hear other voices than their own.
So you mean voices in their heads?
Yeah, voices in their heads. So sometimes, you know, that's a blessing and sometimes it's a curse. This book on the right, a manuscript from Virginia Woolf, and so she describes in really graphic detail about the horrible voices that she hears and the torment that they give her.
And so this was actually typed by Virginia Woolf, this book that we're seeing. Wow, really?
Right here from the British Library. So we've got loads of international loans of really incredible material in this exhibition. And this book on the left is actually written by Dame Julian of Norwich. What is remarkable about this is that she actually wrote the first known book in English by a woman. And so this is a version of that book. That book was written in the 1300s, and this is from the 1600s. But in this one, she speaks about connecting with the divine voice, so being able to hear her God.
So for Virginia, it was a curse, but of course for her, it was a blessing.
Yeah. Just stunning works. Mm.
Which is the case for so many of us when it comes to voices. Tilly and Katie, so nice to chat. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Robbie.